The master was nigh. He spoke the word. us. Amen. If we could, let's bow our hearts tonight and approach our Creator. If we could, if you have a need on your heart, you'd make it known by the uplifted hand tonight. God sees those needs and He's mindful of them. If you'll hold that on your heart tonight, I believe He'll come by and He'll meet each and every one. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for truly, Lord, that is our desire, Father. Lord, is to have so much of You, Father. Lord, we know, Father, that, Lord, if there's a desire, Father, Lord, in us to have more, God, then, Lord, there's got to be more to be had, Lord. Lord, just like if our body cried out for salt, Lord, there's got to be salt somewhere, Lord. Otherwise, the body would never scream for it, Lord. But God, there's a deep calling out to the deep tonight, Lord. Lord, inside of us tonight, Father, we are, Lord, with great anticipation, Lord, just so excited, Father, about what you could do for us tonight, God. And Lord, our greatest desire, Lord, is to have more of You, Father. And Lord, would You come tonight, God, and draw each and every one close to You, Father. And Lord, tear down every barrier, tear down every wall, Lord. And God, we know how the enemy would try to divide and try to throw things up, Lord, to cause confusion. But God, You are greater than those things tonight, Lord. And God, we're asking, Father, that You would come and You would be free in this place, Father. Lord, would You take this vessel now, Father? Lord, we know there's nothing good, Father, about it, Lord, except for Your Spirit tonight, God. And Lord, we surrender it totally to Thee tonight, Father. And God, would You break the bread of life to us tonight, Father, for we're hungry, Lord. Lord, would You set us up higher, Father? Lord, bring us up a little higher, Lord, that we might be able to see where we're standing at in this last day, Father. Lord, I ask, dear God, that You would bless these people, Father, that are under the sound of our voice tonight, Lord. Lord, the very fact that they're here tonight tells me, God, that, Lord, there's a seed of life laying on the inside, God. Lord, would You come, and Lord, would You quicken that seed tonight? Lord, we'll be careful to give You the honor and the glory and the praise for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with us to 2 Timothy chapter 3? Begin reading with verse 1. I want to say it's an honor to be with you all again. And it's been a little while since we've been here last, but we always enjoy coming because, you know, as like I told Brother Tony last weekend, as we was visiting a little bit there, just briefly, we didn't get to visit much with them types of things. It just seems like everything pulls you from one direction to the other. But I told him last weekend, I said, well, we certainly feel very much at home every time we come. And I want to say we're grateful for those things, the way you made us feel, and the hand that You've extended to us, the hand of fellowship. We are so grateful for that tonight. And may God richly bless you. If you have your Bibles, if you have your place there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors and heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Lord bless you. You may have your seats for just a little while this evening. We ask you to forgive us. We're running just a little bit late tonight. We don't try to do those things, but tonight we got a little bit behind, and that always kind of throws everything kind of out of cater, you know, whenever you're trying to prepare for a service and things, it just kind of, it sets you in a tailspin almost. So, you know, you just pray with us tonight and trust that God will come and do something to
to give you something to fight with. Amen. And I'd like to look at a thought tonight as we enter into the Word. I'd like to look at a thought tonight on just simply where we are at tonight. And you know, you look in around today, and you know, you see how that the condition of the world is in, and how that it's Satan's Eden, as the prophet of God called it. And right. we know that you know, if any time you're on a journey, it's, you know, if you was to leave here tonight and you was to go on a trip or to get in your car and to maybe try to go somewhere down the road, you know, it's always good to kind of know where you're at, you know. And I begin to think about these things, and I begin to kind of meditate on it as I was looking at this thought. And I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, anytime we go on a trip or anything time we're going somewhere, you know, you have this little thing, or well, you used to have this thing called a map. Amen. And you would look on that map, and you would be able to tell on that map exactly where on the road you was at. You know, you would look and you'd find this mile marker, and then you'd find it in this, and you know, you would align that thing with the map to understand where you're at. Amen. And we begin to look, and as I begin to think here, I begin to look, and we're going to jump back up to verse 1 and read back down if we may. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, what is that word perilous? It's that it's troublesome. Amen. It's a time that on every hand there's trouble and there's tribulation. Amen. There's trials. And we realize that's where we're at. Amen. And for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Amen. We realize that today that there is such a spirit in the age. Amen. There is such a dominant spirit in the age that it's all about number one. It's all about I. It's all about, you know, you got iPhone, iPad, I this, I that, you know. And what it is it's that self spirit, that spirit of looking out for number one, if you will, amen. And it's always about what I can get, what I can achieve, what I can obtain, amen. And it's something, you know, it used to be that there was a sense of loyalty one to another. You would look, come on somebody, you would look and you would begin to see that there was a, you know, used to be back before time got where we're at today, there was a sense of loyalty one to another. There was a sense of honor, a sense of respect. And now you look and you see how that in Satan's Eden, how that the devil's come in and he's taken that sense of respect, he's taken the loyalty, he's taken the honor, and he's done away with those things, and he's made those things that used to be wrong, and now they become right. Amen. And but the bride realizes because she has eyes that she can see and ears that she can hear, amen. And thankful and grateful are we for those things. But we realize that in this, we're looking at that thought, where are we at today? And you look and you see in 2 Timothy here how that Paul was speaking, and he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy. Now you look and you begin to see how the kids today, they are such a almost a mob, if you will, amen. They're in such a state to where they run the household. They do what they want to do. They do this, they do that, and the parents say, well, we can't do nothing about it. That's a bunch of nonsense. I say that God made you the parent. Come on, somebody. Amen. Anybody out there tonight? Come on now. But we realize that God made you the parent. And Brother Brown said, it's not child delinquency, but it's that parent delinquency. Amen. We realize that you were made the parent. You, Father, are set over your home. You're the head of the home, and you're the one that is the protector of the gate. Amen. You're the protector of the door. Amen. And we wonder why the family is in this way that it is in today's world, but what is it? It's because we have allowed the bars to come down. Not only
only in the household, but you look and you see how that in the pulpits, how that the devil's gotten into the pulpits, and how that he's weakened the pulpits, if you will. You better thank God for a pulpit that'll come, a minister that'll come and preach across the pulpit against sin. Come on, somebody. You realize today that the people have become so desensitized. They become so involved with the things of the world that they actually despise correction. Come on, somebody. You know, used to be. I say many times, you know, whenever the preacher comes out and he starts preaching against sin, well, everybody in the church is mad. Come on. Everybody in the church is mad because the preacher's coming out and he's calling out sin. But you realize, I think, you know, you look at the ministers today and how that we preach against those things, and people get mad all over the place. It's like, you know, they don't want to hear it anymore.
Right.
Come on. It's like they don't want to hear it. It's like we're beyond those things, are we? Come on. But you look and you say, they'll say, we don't need to hear those things. We don't want to hear it. Come on. But you realize, I think about this many times. I think if the prophet of God was to stand behind this pulpit tonight, I wonder how many would sit through the service.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
Now you just think about that a minute. If the prophet of God was standing before you tonight, and he preached to you, how many of you would be able to sit through that service? Now everybody in the house is going to put their hands up. But I want to know, whenever he comes to your house, come on, this gets right up next to us. That's okay. That's all right. I'm going to preach whether you like it or not. I'm leaving tomorrow. But whenever that prophet of God would come down and he would get right up next to you and he would call that thing out. And let me tell you, he wasn't easy with it. Brother Tony, he would hurt you. He would layer out the way it was and let the chips fall where they would.
Yeah.
Now you got us preachers nowadays, and we try to usher you in gently. But the prophet of God, he couldn't do that. Come on.
Right.
Come on. But what is it? You know, you look and you see the pulpits, how they've become weak. And I think, you know, it's time to take the sugar off of the message. We have preached around it. We have walked around it. We have walked on eggshells, Brother Tony. We have tried to be gentle, but now I think it's coming a time to where it's time to take the sugar off of the message.
Yes.
And to preach to you right is right.
Right.
And wrong is wrong still.
Right. Amen.
And you know, I think that in today's society, they have taken the meaning of right, and they have totally taken that meaning, and they have done away with it, replaced it with the acceptable. It's no longer right and wrong; it's what's tolerable.
Right.
It's what's acceptable. But you say, Brother Ben, you're dealing with that out there. Well, just a minute. We're getting ready to deal with this. Okay. But we look and we see in verse 3, it says that they're without natural affection. Now you look at the things today, and that natural affection, that, you know, it's about as unnatural as it comes. Amen. Because Bob don't know if he's Bob or Sally anymore. Sally don't know if she's Sally or Bob.
Right.
And to top it all off, I'm not sure either.
Right.
Come on. Come on, to top it all off, I'm not sure either. It's pretty bad whenever you got to stop and you got to say, what are you?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Anybody, or does that not happen in Arkansas? Huh? But in Missouri, we got it, okay? And you walk in and it's like you walk in and all of a sudden you see that whatever it is.
Right.
You know, and you're going, whoa. You're either an ugly woman or a real bad looking man.
Right.
Come on. That's kind of funny, but it's true.
Right.
But, you know, I never thought we would be where we are today.
Right.
But where are we at? We're in the last days.
Right.
We're in the time that is the most evil of all times. This is the consummation of all things. This is where the rubber meets the road. But while the devil's out there working, he's also working on the inside of a bride at the same time. While there's one working out here, there's another one over here. It's a faithful, it's a true, and it's a just God. And he's coming down and he's preaching the truth across the pulpits. Come on, somebody. And what's he doing? He's getting a bride ready for a rapture. He's getting a bride ready for a body change. Come on, somebody. But we realize that in today's day, it's not going to. Remember, Tony was talking about this just a little while ago. I don't believe that the persecution will come from just out there. I believe that the persecution will come from right in amongst you. Come on, somebody. Because let me tell you right now, those that can hurt you the most are the ones that are closest to you. You look and you begin to see how we want to preach on the world and what they're doing and what they're doing and what they're saying. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm not preaching in the Baptist church. I'm not preaching in the Methodist church. I'm preaching in Spirit and Truth Tabernacle tonight. And let me tell you right now, I'm saying that I'm not preaching to them, but I'm preaching to you, little bride. Come on. Amen. Come on, somebody. Is there any bride in here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. But I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to the world. This is not for them, but this is for you. Amen. But we realize that it comes from right within our own ranks. We realize that they come and they take the message and they distort it and they twist it and they turn it and they put their ideas in it. Come on, brother. I don't need your interpretation. We've got the quotes for that. Say what he said.
Right.
Don't say what he said plus a little excerpt from Brother Ben. No, that's not what it's all about. It's about what he said, and then you've got to bring that back to this. Come on.
Amen.
When you do away with that, you're off on in right field. When you take only message and none of the scripture, you're off in right field, and there's a lot of that today.
Right.
Come on, somebody. They're baptized in his name. Come on. Why? Because they've gotten their eyes off of the goal. What is it? There's a foolish virgin. Still just as pure as she could be. She's a virgin.
Right?
Right.
Right.
What is a virgin? Somebody that's not been touched.
Right.
One that's not been tainted. We've got a lot of foolish virgins. Come on.
Right.
Huh? But they take and they will they take it and they make it a none effect. It says there will be without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Amen. Now you look in and in the message today, we're going to stop dealing with Laodicea because I'm not in Laodicea. Amen. I'm not in Laodicea because I've been called out of Laodicea.
Amen.
Amen. I'm in I'm gonna say this now. Don't throw your walls up on me, okay? I'm in a rapture, going to a rapture. Huh? Is that all right? What do you mean, Brother Ben? Well, I've been raptured out of Laodicea,
right,
by the message of the hour.
Right.
Because that message called me out of, it says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her plagues. Amen. So whenever you've received that message of the hour, you've been raptured out. You're not a part of Laodicea. Yeah, your body's in it.
Right.
But your soul, your heart, was never part of Laodicea. Come on, is that right? Is that all right?
Yeah.
But we've realized that they're despisers of those that are good, they're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, we live in the most pleasure-crazed society today.
Amen.
Everything's about pleasure. You know, you look at the world and you look in the message and it's about... It's about what feels good. People are majoring on an emotion. People will major on that emotion, which I believe you should have emotion. Anything without emotion, dead.
Right.
Amen. I believe that's good. I believe I like to see people run across the tops of the pews. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that, Brother Tony. There's nothing wrong with somebody jumping up and running around the sanctuary as long as it's done right.
Right. Amen.
As long as it's done by the Spirit of God.
Right.
And not for a public show.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But there's nothing wrong with those things. I believe we should have those things. I don't want to, anywhere Jesus was, there was a stir.
Right.
Anywhere Jesus was, there was life to it. There was a stir. There was a commotion. You could hear him coming from afar off. Why? Because there was such a noise surrounding him.
Yeah.
Amen. There was such a noise surrounding Jesus. But there's lovers of pleasure, and you look and you know it's about, and church has become such a social gathering place now.
Right.
Well, I want to see what Sister Vicky's wearing today. Sister Vicky wants to see what Sister Tiffany's going to wear to service today. Come on.
Yeah.
But it's become a social gathering place. It's become a ritual.
Right.
Am I preaching to anybody tonight?
Yeah.
It's become a ritual. It's become a, this is just what we do. Why do you do it? Well, this is what we was taught to do.
Right.
Why do you do it? Why do you do it? Is there something in your heart that compels you to come? Or you just go because Mom and Daddy goes. I know, Brother Ben normally is fireball, but this is the way we felt to go tonight. Maybe if y'all pray for me real hard, maybe we'll get to preaching tomorrow. But do you have an experience of your own, or are you coming because Mama and Daddy says you should? Come on. There's a lot of adult children in the message. Come on. Hello? There's a lot of 50, 60-year-old adult children that's just still hanging on because Mama and Daddy said it was what they should do. And they've never, ever entered into, they've never had an experience for themselves. Come on. Is that all right?
Amen.
What are we talking about? Where we are at today. I think that we've got to get back to the preaching to catch the sinner. Come on.
Amen.
Come on. I think that in the message we've gotten away from that, Brother Tony. I think that we've become so intellectual.
Right.
We want to, as brother, we want to know who's gonna come up with the next big thing.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
We've become so intellectual until our young people sit on message pews and starve to death.
Right.
My children, soon to be your children. Come on. Soon to be your children someday. Your kids. Come on. These kids right now. Where is the fervency for the gospel? Where's the passion in our lives? Where's the passion in our homes? Come on, I'm just getting pulled off now, okay? Where's the passion at? You know, when's the last time your kids have seen Jesus in you? Come on, don't set on me. When's the last time that you pulled your family around and you told them what you believe? Come on. When's the last time you daddies have pulled your daughter in and said, this is why we don't dress, put the pants on, and we don't cut our hair? Okay, I'm off my subject, okay? When's the last time you guys, you men have, and I realize we're a little congregation, but you know, you all daddies.
Right.
When's the last time that you've sat down and you've said, hey, this is why, we don't do that, and this is why?
Right.
Your children are owed an explanation. My kids are owed an explanation. You know, I can't just say, well, and I do sometimes. But we're not supposed to stand there and say,
we're just not going to do that without a reason. I want to tell them why. I want to tell her why she can't cut her hair. Because if she knows, then that's going to keep her. If she can, if you can take her back and you can say, well, God said it was, the Bible said it was wrong right here.
Right.
You know what the problem is? A lot of us don't study it out and we can't find where it said it.
Right.
Because we're hanging on to what mama and daddy said.
Right.
That gets right up against us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're hanging on to what the preacher said and we've never actually went in and studied it out for ourselves. Hello?
Right.
Anybody there?
But
it says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. You know, you look and they want to hide behind message. They want to say, you walk up to them and they say, well, we believe the message and we follow the message of the hour, but yet their lives testify something totally different. There's some churches out there that preach some things that you want to know what a pastor believes, you look at the congregation.
Right.
But you know, you've met those people that they want to hide behind that form of godliness. Come on. They want to hide behind that form. They want to hide behind the covering of message, but they're as far away from the message as you can get. You walk into their home and you look around the world or around the message today, and you see how there's become such a they've become so desensitized until what used to be wrong is now acceptable.
Right.
Because now you know there used to be a line between a male and a female. There is an invisible line between me and her. Come on.
Right?
Because she's another woman. That's my wife right here. But we've allowed it to come into the churches to where there's things that are acceptable that are not acceptable. You've got some churches where the sisters are sitting on the men's lap. Don't believe that, do you? Mm-hmm. Know how I know? Right here. And y'all can't talk me out of it. You know why? Because I know. We've got churches that sisters are sitting on the brothers' laps. We've got brothers that are with the sisters alone in private places. Well, you'd like me to hit on the Baptist, wouldn't you? I'm not saying that's here. It better not be here. But it's out there and you've got to guard that door. You say, why are you preaching that? Because you've got to guard that door. You've got to be aware of what's out there, and they all hide behind message. They all hide under that form of godliness. They all want to be hide under that cloak of religion. But yet their life, their fruits testify to me exactly what they are. The foolish virgin. Is that all right? Where are we at?
Well, we're working on that.
They have a form of godliness, but they deny the very power thereof. Well, Brother Bram said that, but that's not really what it meant. Oh? Then you want to explain to me exactly what he meant when he said it. Come on. I know. You're wishing I would have never came. But I believe sometimes we get a little bit lax in where we're at. I believe that sometimes we get stuck in the run of the mill. I believe that we get stuck in the quote unquote normal.
Right.
You and I, me too. I think that we think that we're so sheltered that that'll never come here.
But you've got to watch that.
Right.
Because, Brother Tony, it wants to come in here. And that devil of complacency wants to get it right in the middle of these, right here. And before you know it, you've got compromise. Come on. Before you know it, you've got compromise. And what are you doing? You're denying the very power of God. You're denying the very power of the Word. Is that right? But they have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof. It says, from such, turn away. Amen? It says, turn away from that thing. Walk away. Shake the dust from off your heels. Amen? But we realize that as you look in and you begin to see how that thing, it creeps into the church. We had a brother come by one time here just a few weeks ago. He came into the church. I was gone preaching somewhere, but Brother Eric called me. He called me on my way home, and he said, "You'll never believe what came into the church today." And he called me and he said, this brother came in and he cornered some of our brothers off in the corner, and he started preaching Joseph was the prophet. Came into our church. You say, "Well," you say, "I would have said, well, that'll never come in." It's here. It can come walk right through that door.
Right.
But you realize he come in and he, what is it? It's that hiding under that cloak, that form. They've got a form of godliness. They've got a form of religion.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Where are we at? We're talking about traitors.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the heady and the high-minded and the ones that, not out there, right here.
Right.
You've got to watch the one sitting next to you. No. Yes. Come on.
Right.
Anybody there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You've got to watch the one sitting next to you. You've got to keep me honest, and I got to keep you honest.
Right.
Amen. We're in this thing together. Brother Tony walks out there and he grabs him a package of cigarettes. Probably I'm going to have something to say to him about it.
Right.
Come on. Brother Tony catches me doing something, probably he better have something to say to me about it.
Right.
What? But from turn away from that thing. Come on,
right.
Is that all right?
Right.
But because what? We're not exempt. We're not exempt from the devil. We're not exempt from those things. He's stuck in that human flesh just like I am. He's not exempt from the enemy. You're not exempt from the enemy. Although we want to sit there with our halos and say, "Oh, well, we are so perfect." Come on.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I like preaching the other services a lot better.
Good.
This is one of the hardest things for a preacher to do. And, you know, honestly, I do my very best to run far away from it as I can. But sometimes, you can't run away from it.
Amen.
You know, I try to encourage as best I can, generally. But sometimes you get pulled into this channel right here, and there's a reason. What's it do? It comes in and it cleans the church. It cleans. It takes sin and it runs. It cleans the church out. Amen.
Amen.
Now if you'll just bear with me here, we're not going to be long tonight. So just hang with me just a few minutes here. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now we realize that the women is a type of the church. We realize that women, anytime it's mentioned, is a type of the church, and it's coming in to where, you know, in the message there's any flavor you want. Is that all right? And a lot of us are sheltered from those things, and that's good. But you look and you see how that there's any message, any flavor you want. You know, you've got two gods, you've got three gods, you've got two souls. Come on.
Right.
Yeah. Is that all right? I got to stay off that stuff. That's it's hard for me sometimes, because when I preach at home, I do that. But whenever I'm in another man's pulpit, I stay off of those things. But I don't believe that we see anything any different. But you know, you've got these things, and they've got it so mixed up. Because why? They didn't take what the prophet of God said.
Amen.
They took, okay, all right. You can take some of the things that he said, and you can make it with a quote, you can make it hold water.
Right.
Brother Tony, I'm going to step in here, and if I'm wrong, you just motion to me. But it's like the two souls. Now, with a quote, I can make two souls hold water. Is that all right?
Right.
But whenever you take it back to Scripture, you can't make that hold water. And Brother Burnham said, he said, I had a man tell me one time, or not me, but he told my pastor, and we was talking, and he says that you can't dovetail the message in the Bible. I said, you better dovetail the message in the Bible. Brother Burnham said, you've got to bring those two together. Because, you know, you can't understand this without this. This is the key that unlocks this.
Amen.
Amen. Right. There's things here that's just not as black and plain black and white.
Right.
There's things that take spiritual revelation back to us by a prophet.
Right.
Because why? A prophet is a seer. A prophet is one that comes and he opens up the Scripture. Amen. Is that all right? But you take and they want to talk about the quote where Brother said the old soul died. Amen. But I had a conversation with a man for hours, and I ain't kidding you, hours, on the two souls. And it was not a bad conversation, because I am not one that will debate with you. If you get a debateful spirit, I'm out.
Right.
I'm not going to debate with you. I'm not going to. But we was having a good conversation, the two of us. Well, he was seeing the two souls. I absolutely do not see the two souls. And we were standing there, and you know, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. So we was reasoning one with another, and that's okay. You know, I'll sit down and I'll talk with you about anything you want to talk about, as long as you can talk to me in the right attitude.
Right. Yeah.
I watched the devil come in, and preachers are the worst. Preachers are the worst, Brother Tony. They'll sit down, and that's why a lot of these minister meetings, you won't see my face there.
Yeah.
Everybody says, Brother Ben, why don't you attend those things? Because I ain't going to get involved in the fray of things.
Right.
Is that all right? You know what? I don't need to express to you how much I know.
Right.
I don't need to tell Brother Tim, whoa, bless God, this is my great revelation that I've got, and this and that. Because your revelation is probably different than mine.
Right.
If we've got the right revelation, it won't be.
Right.
But understand that's the way. What is it? It's a tool that the devil will use.
Right.
Because it gets the ministry up in arms, and then before you know it, you got this preacher talking about that preacher in the pulpit.
Right.
We're not going there.
Right.
We're not going there. I'm not going to debate with another minister or you. You want to know what I think about something? If there's a question about something, I'll show you where I got it. But if you're going to, come on, come on, that's right, lighten up on me. It gets heavy sometimes. You know what an amen does? It lightens it just a little bit. But it comes in so heavy, Brother Tony, sometimes, and whenever you're preaching like this, it gets real heavy. So if you'll give me an amen every now and again, that'll bring it back off of me, okay? I'm one of them amen preachers. I need a lot of them. But, you know, they have these minister meetings, and I've been asked, why don't you go attend those things? Well, because of the, what good comes out of it? Huh? Before you know it, you've got this brother against that brother and that brother against this brother. But they come and they get together and they talk, and before you know it, there's a division. And you got church wars.
Yeah.
Anybody ever had a church war? They're ugly. They're ugly. Amen? You stay away from that. You stay away from that. Don't get caught up in that. Because you've got nothing to prove. God fights your battles.
Amen.
You know, whenever I'm sitting around in a group of ministers, I don't talk doctrine. My pastor told me when I first started preaching, he said, "Ben, don't you ever debate this word with no man." He said, "And you stay out of the fray of things." That was the best advice that man ever gave me. Because I've sat in places and I've watched ministers come around the table and I just sat back. And you know, they'll go back and forth, "Brother Tony, what about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about that?" And before you know it, you feel that spirit. Come on. You feel that thing coming in. And what is it? It starts dividing. But that being said, there are conversations that can be had right.
Amen.
Now, there's conversations that you can sit there and I enjoy those types of conversations, to be just honest with you.
Right.
I enjoy that. Whenever we can have an honest conversation and I, you know, maybe I don't see it quite the way you see it, but that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. You don't have to see it the way I see it.
Amen.
Boy, we have a hard time with that, don't we? Because we're naturally right. You're naturally right, and Brother Ben's naturally wrong. No. No. That's the wrong spirit.
Right.
Where are we at? We're in the last day. We're watching the devil try to creep in and trying to divide the people. Not just church to church, but these people right here inside of these four walls. I don't know where you're at. I don't know. I don't know. I just come in and I'm preaching what I feel like I'm supposed to preach.
Amen.
But you know, I got into that conversation. I'm sorry I got off of that, but I got into that conversation and him and I was going back and forth and you know, we was having a good conversation and he goes, but said the old soul died. And I said, but the Bible said, "Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated." I said, "Where's predestination come in?" I said, "If you say that that old soul had to die," I said, then that old soul, we realize that God can't create anything that's wrong. You're saying that God made a mistake.
Right.
Am I wrong? You're saying God made a mistake. If you're saying, "Well, God said God put the wrong soul in you the first time." My God's infallible. I don't know about your God, but my God's infallible.
Right.
But in order for two souls to hold up, we realize that the devil is not a creator, but he's a pervertor.
Right?
Right? He cannot create. Right?
Right.
We agree on that. He cannot create, so in order for two souls, and we realize that anything that's created from God is pure, it's holy, it's just, it's right, and it's correct. Right? We agree on that. So if there was another soul that was created wrong, then you're suggesting that school of wisdom is suggesting that Satan is a creator.
Right?
Because God couldn't have created it. So I asked him, I said, "Where's predestination come in?" I finally looked at him, I said, "Look," I said, "I was never lost. I was never going to hell." Come on. You was never lost. You was never going to hell. I never had to have my soul changed. My soul was always right. Now, that being said, I believe Gerber talked about a sin-sick soul. Hello? And what that was is there was a life inside of that soul already. It was a germ of life. It was a predestinated son or daughter of God. And what it was is that seed laid inside of that soul dormant. That soul laid, that seed laid inside of that soul, but that seed laid there dormant until, now realize you were born in sin, you were shaped in iniquity and came into the world speaking lies.
Right.
Now we realize that the soul was always right.
Right? But there was a seed lying on the inside of that soul that was either predestinated to heaven or hell. And you either believe predestination or you don't. That's not for me. That's your pastor's deal. But I believe in predestination.
Amen.
But you take and you look at that. But I told him, I said, look, I said, before the foundation of the world was, where was I? I was in God. When he said, let there be, I was in God. I was already a part of him. Amen. I was already a part of him. I was already in him. When he laid the foundation of the world, that was me that said, let there be. Hello? That was me. That was you.
Right.
That said, let there be. I was preaching one time and I made the statement. I said, I've already been to hell. And everybody went, you know, and it got heavy. Boy, it got heavy. And I preached along for a little while. You know how you do, Brother Tony. You throw something out there to see what they'll do with it. But I preached along for a little while, and then I turned around and I said, when Jesus Christ went down into hell, I was inside of him. I was in Christ Jesus. I've already slapped the devil across the face and walked out with the keys.
Right.
I've already been there. I'm not going back. I went there to conquer. Come on.
Amen.
I went there to overcome. I went there to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And that's the only time I've ever been there. Is that all right? Come on. Some of y'all need to smile. Huh? That's the only time I'm ever going there. But you can't make the two. There's so many things that and then the three gods, the Lord said unto my Lord, you know, and they get all scrupled up under that.
Right. Amen.
Amen. All right, Brother Tony. Right. But what is it? It's that form of godliness. But they deny the very power thereof. They deny the word. They want to sit there and they want to, I'm going to say this and don't shut me down. They want to say, well, Brother Branham said. Okay. But what does it say when you bring it across, bring the mirror across it? They want to, now, you start getting into thin ice here when you say these things. But they want to make the man infallible.
Right.
Now, there is not a person in this building that has a greater love for this message and that man than I do. But he was not infallible.
Correct.
He was not God, but he was God. He was not God, but he was God. Whenever he tried to commit suicide, that wasn't God.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
But whenever he declared the word, whenever I and my Father are one, and he began to speak. Look, you know, people followed him. They came in by the droves under those first two poles. Under the signs and the wonders. But whenever he come down and he begin to declare the word, that's where everybody begin to fall off.
Right.
Whenever Jesus come down, you know, they could follow Jesus for the signs and the wonders, loaves and fishes. They could follow him all the way to the end. Oh, yes, I'm right with you. But whenever he said, I and my Father are one, where'd the followers go?
Right.
Why? Because they was the foolish virgin. Come on. And you've got this great falling away and you ain't seen nothing yet, just let me tell you.
Right.
You've had this great falling away within our ranks. Lord have mercy, it's already been 45 minutes. You've had this great falling away within our ranks and you ain't seen nothing yet. I said, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Right.
And what is it? It's they're finding, they're taking issue, I'm going to say this, okay, with the humanity side of the prophet.
Right.
You can have an issue with the humanity side. Because he made mistakes in his flesh.
Right.
Now some of the stuff they come up with is just, it's just plain nonsense.
Right.
It's just like, you know, you look at it and you just shake your head, you shake your heels, the dust from off your heels, and you go.
Right.
But they come and they have such an issue with his humanity. Well, he said it this way over here, and then he said it that way over there, which is right. I want you to tell the story the same way twice. Mm-hmm. Brother Tony, that fish was this big. But whenever I tell Brother Tim tomorrow, that dude was that big. Come on.
Right.
I'm not saying he over elaborated or nothing like that. I'm just saying you can't tell the story the same way twice.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
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 Where are we at? I'm just pointing things out. Okay? If you don't have any of this here, that's great. I hope you don't. I trust you don't. But I'm telling you to watch that door right there.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, it's out there. And I'm telling you, it's coming into more and more and more churches. Because that devil, he'll plant himself right in the middle of you.
Right.
He don't want to be out there. He's already got the denominations. Hello? He's already got the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Methodists, the Presbyterian. He's already got them. He don't need to plant himself there. He's already been there. But he's got to come right here.
Right.
Not just this church. Understand, I'm saying right within the confines of this message.
Right.
And he wants to sit. And that's what I say. You've got to watch the person sitting next to you all the time. Amen?
Yeah.
It says, from such turn away, verse 6 says, for of this sort are they that which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They have an intellect. They have an intellectual understanding. They can quote the quotes better than I can. Because I'm not a quote quoter. Just get real honest with you. I can't sit there and just on demand. There's some guys, I had a brother, he's a Christian church pastor. He come in the other day and we was talking about something and he was quoting scripture, chapter, verse, line, all of it. I looked at him and I said, you make me sick. But some people are that way. They can come in and they can quote it just right down to the line. See, Satan quoted the scripture right down, just quoted the word right down the line to Eve, except one.
Right.
He just changed one. And that's the way they'll come in. They'll start with something subtle. Come on.
Right.
And what is it? They're preaching behind pulpits tonight. That's right. From such, turn away. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Aren't you glad that you got truth?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you know the truth of this hour? Amen. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. What are they doing? They're taking it and they're putting their slant on it, Brother Tony. You know, that's why we've come past this mountain so long. I say the rapture's overdue. Hello?
Amen.
I say the rapture's past due. Come on. I say that God's lingering, waiting on you and I to take our place.
Right.
Because we're come past on that mountain. I know some of you don't agree with me, but that's okay.
Good.
That's okay. Huh?
But we realize that Jannes and Jambres, we know that they came in, and we realize that the devil is a perverter. He's not a creator, but he's a perverter. We know that Moses dropped that rod and that staff, and they turned into a snake. And then Jannes and Jambres, what did they do? The devil come in and he imitated that thing. Now I can take $100 bill, a real one, and then I can take a fake one, and they've got it now to where those are so close that you can't tell the difference. I could take one of you brothers has probably got $100 bill on you right now. And I could take that $100 bill, and then I could take a counterfeit, and that counterfeiter can make it look to your eye exactly the same. But I've got at the store that we own, I've got a handy little light that tells on it. Because I bring that light across that $100 bill, and it'll tell me if it rings true or not. Amen. And when you bring this thing, underneath the light. Amen. When you bring this thing underneath the light, it tells you whether it's true or whether it's a counterfeit. You cannot be deceived. Amen? But you can't be, you've got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Ever watching. Because you've got all of these that's counting on you and me. Amen? Is that all right?
Amen.
But we realize they dropped theirs. And what was it? It was almost an exact replica. But the Bible, the word always comes around and it'll correct the error. We realize that the true swallowed up the false. Amen? And it'll be the same way in this age. The truth is going to swallow up the false. The truth is going to prevail. With or without you or I.
Amen.
But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and that as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. You know an uncertain sound when you hear it. Come on. You know an uncertain sound. You have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Amen. Persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, and Icarim, and Lystra, What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now realize that all of those things, we're not immune to those things coming in. But I'm telling you right now that God is faithful, and He's just, and He's true.
Amen.
And He's faithful to come and deliver us out of those things.
Amen.
Amen. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Troubles are going to come. They're all around. Those things are going to come. You can't stop that. Hello?
Right.
You can't stop it from coming. But you can stand against it. You know, there's things that you have to make a stand sometimes, and you're very unpopular for your stand. In message churches, you have to stand for things, and before you know it, you've got this one against you and that one against you. But I'm telling you right now, brother, sister, I'm not going to compromise on this word. I will not compromise. I don't need a pulpit to preach in, just to be quite honest with you. I don't need another man's pulpit to preach in. But I have a responsibility, and I'm accountable for what I deliver. And I will never compromise on this.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, if you find something in here that doesn't line up right here, don't say nothing about it. You know, the human nature is the first thing you want to do is you want to go tell somebody about what you found. But you know, your eyes might not have just been opened yet. You don't go talking down on this, not my message, but the message of the hour. Okay, on this tablet right here, the message is loaded on this tablet. And then when I hold that up, that's what that means. But you don't go talking about this and sowing confusion. You keep it to yourself and you ponder it in your heart. And don't you be guilty of saying one thing wrong against it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But you ponder those things in your heart. And you keep it to yourself. And to, you say, God, open the eyes of my heart. If I'm wrong, show me. Amen? What do we want to have? We want to have a teachable spirit. A spirit that can be taught. Not one that's haughty and high-minded. And you know, you can't teach an arrogant man nothing. Because he already knows everything you know. How many of you have ever met people like that? That, you know, they...
Me and you are the only ones who ever met anybody like that, but Tony.
You know, they automatically come to you and they already know everything about everything, and you should just be honored to be in their presence.
Right.
You can't teach a man like that. I don't want that spirit. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be so bound up in myself and say, well, you know, you should be convinced. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be convinced, but if Brother Tony could come to me and he could show me where my revelation did not match the Word, my revelation's wrong. And vice versa, if I could come to him and I could say, Brother Tony, this is where the Scripture says that his revelation's wrong if it's something contrary. Right?
Right.
What is that? That's a teachable spirit. And we've always got to maintain that. When you get to the point to where you think you have obtained, you're a fool. I'm a fool for thinking that I've obtained. Because you always want to keep me, you always want to maintain that. Amen.
Yeah.
Says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, we're just going right down the line here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Those things that you know's right. Those things that God's come down and vindicated to be true. You continue in those things, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. I believe that God come down and he vindicated that prophet. I don't believe, you know, they say we follow a man. Well, so be it. I follow the man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I follow the Christ in the man. And if they got it, you know, I had a boss one time, he always used to call me a holy roller, and that's fine. If that's what he needed to call me, I was good with that. Leave me alone. I'm happy being a holy roller.
Right.
You want to say I follow a man? That's fine. I do. I follow the man, Jesus Christ. Come on.
Amen.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures is given by inspiration. You know, you got to love those people that say that wasn't inspired.
Right.
He said it was. Mm-hmm. All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Right.
And is profitable for doctrine.
Right.
For reproof, for correction. For instruction in righteousness. This is your map. Come on.
Right.
This is profitable. This is what's going to put you in a rapture. Am I wrong? Come on.
Good.
For righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all, furnished unto all good works. Amen. Stand with me your feet tonight. Musicians would come. You all pray for us. course, tonight, tomorrow, I don't know exactly where we're going to go, but if it be pleasing unto Him, we're just going to preach tomorrow. Amen. We're just going to lay down and preach. Amen. Let's bow our hearts tonight. Brother Tony, if you'll make your way up this way, brother. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, it's with, Lord, such joy, Father, that we're able to approach you, Lord. Lord, and we are so thankful, Father, for eyes that we can see and ears that we can hear, Lord. And God, you said, Father, that your word wouldn't return to you void, Lord. And God, we've done exactly what you laid on our heart, Lord, to do. Lord, this was on our heart, Father, Lord, from last week, God. And Lord, I'm asking, Father, that, Lord, you would, Lord, that you would take it, Father, and you would apply it, Father, to those that had need of it, Lord. And God, we don't understand your ways, Lord. Your ways are not our ways, Lord. And God, I'm asking, Father, that, Lord, if there was some here, Lord, that was looking down that path of deception, Lord, I'm asking that there would have been a stop sign, if nothing else, Lord, a stop sign raised in the middle of that path, Lord, saying, don't go down that path. But, Lord, that they would turn back around, God, and they would follow the way that's right, Lord. The truth, Lord, will set them free tonight. Lord, I'm asking, Father, that, Lord, you would move, Father, on the behalf of each and every one represented tonight, Father. Lord, now receive the sacrifice of our praise, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Tim, if you'll start that for us tonight.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
can see the Lord tonight.
Amen.
You know, Brother Ben should always speak what's on his heart. I can always come along behind him if I ever had to and correct something. But I can tell you that when I was out here before service, was realized I needed to come and mow the church lawn, and so I was mowing. And I caught the inspiration of his message. Because God was speaking to me out there while I was mowing exactly what he's preaching about tonight. And so I know it's right. And I don't want anyone, I want to encourage you right now, don't let this, what you heard, go by. Because I know that when he read that whole list of things there, there's probably at least one of those things there where we can tighten our belt up on. Every one of us. And so, because when he stood up here on the pulpit, I asked God, you speak to me too.
Amen.
You know, speak to me as a minister, you know. And so, I can tell you that God has done that. And so, you search your own heart right now, and you look at what it is that you saw that when he read it, and you said to yourself, you know what? Man, I'm kind of guilty a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Now, you know what it is. I don't.
Sure.
God knows and you know. And I don't want you to pass by this moment and not ask God to deal with that. And not be sincere. See? We want to see God, but I'm going to tell you something. Between now and rapture time, you're not going to see some great majestic something come down. And what you're going to see is what you just did. You're going to see him in his word speaking to your heart, wooing you and trying to pull you into a deeper walk with him and a closer walk in obedience to his word. That's what you're going to see between now and rapture time. And we can't just keep passing this by and say, well, he's right, I heard it, but I'm, because you can't quicken yourself if God's not dealing with your heart.
Right.
So I don't want you to pass this by. And I want to mention several things. I wrote down several things and I want to make several comments here as we do this, but I don't want you to pass by what God has said. You know, he started out talking about men being lovers of themselves.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's about me. Oh, my wife and I had just a short discussion today because we see that in our grandson. Everything, his conversation, he wants it to be about him. And I said, we need to address that. We need to teach him that it needs to be about others. So when he said that, I want to ask you a question. When Jesus walked this earth, was it all about him? Did he walk around and say, me, it's all me? Or did he walk this earth for you?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's our grand example.
Yep.
Our grand example is what he did.
Right.
If you want to have friends and be loved, you live for others.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Don't live for yourself. If you live for yourself, your life has been wasted.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Live for others. And I know others will take advantage of you. That's part of it. But we want to live for others like the Lord Jesus did. He talked about when Scripture said disobedient to parents. Do you know that a child that won't be obedient to their parents, they won't be obedient to the police officer. They won't be obedient to the judge.
No.
And they won't be obedient to God.
Right.
And so, you know, children need to respect their parents. Even if you don't agree with them, you need to honor them and respect them. And so if you can't honor and respect them, then you're going down a bad road. So you take young people who can't honor and respect mom and dad, they won't honor and respect the police officer or the speed limit signs. They won't respect the judge. I'm going to tell you something. Parents need to tighten up. He hit on it. Parents need to tighten up on this, and here's why. Because you need to prepare your children for going out there and meeting the real world. And in the real world, if you have disrespect to the police officer, what's going to happen?
Right.
If you have disrespect to your boss, if you tell your boss, you know, we had a guy tell my boss a few weeks ago to shut up. Didn't go good for him.
No.
You be disrespectful to your boss, what's going to happen?
Come on.
Right? You be disrespectful to the judge in the courtroom, what do you think is going to happen?
Come on.
And if you disrespect God's holy word, what do you think you're going to meet up with?
Right.
So parents, lay it out there so they know what's coming.
Right?
So that they don't walk out there and find out the world is different than what mom and dad was.
That's right.
Mom and dad, be stern with them. You got to be stern with them. You have to, like Brother Bram said. Why? He was boxing and he said to that guy that he was sparring with, he said, "Why you have to hit me so hard?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, you know what? You don't like me now, but when you get in the ring with your opponent, you're going to thank me for being so rough right now." And that's what I'm telling you, parents. Be rough if you have to, right? Be rough with them, because the world and Satan is not going to give them, you're going to be rough too.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want them standing on Judgment Day and saying, "This is the first time that I've seen sternness. You got to be stern, because that's the only thing that works.
Come on.
You know, I have guys, seven guys, well, now I got six, because one just left and went to find a job. He was driving an hour, and it was too far for him, and so I don't blame him. He's drove it for 2 years, so he got a job closer to home. Didn't really want to leave, but he got a job closer to home. But I've got these guys that work for me, and all week long, I have to make corrections to what they're doing. I had one guy that he was very clear as to what was to do, and he ran metal conduit and put it wrong. And I had to come out there and tell him, "You've got to move that." And here's why. Because my boss made it very clear what he wanted.
Right.
And so, and my boss is on vacation. And so I'm not going to have my boss come back and say, "What is that?" So I pass along what the boss says.
Right.
And when the boss said, "Don't, you know, I want it a certain way," and this guy did it wrong and he just wasn't listening, I had to tell him, "You got to move that.
Sure.
You got to put it away." And so the boss man said,
right.
And I'm going to stand up here and tell you what the boss man says.
Exactly.
Right? And when he comes to inspect your life and the work that you've done, that I've instructed you, that I'm supposed to tell you what he said, when he comes, you want your life to match this.
Yes, sir.
Right? And everything will be fine. So you got to be stern with these things, and it starts right in the homes.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And so he touched on that. No matter what kind of message revelation we get, no matter how smart we get in whatever, if we miss that life,
come on.
If we miss that personal relationship where we love the Lord Jesus Christ from our heart, we're not going to come up in that glorious resurrection or rapture anyway.
Right.
So don't let message quotes and all that be what you gauge yourself by.
Sir.
Gauge it by that longing in your heart. The desire and that love for the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And so he mentioned that. The Scripture said, he talked about the form of godliness. They have a form of godliness, but not denying the power thereof. And I like to put it this way. Denying the power of deliverance.
Yep.
Have a form of godliness, but denying that there is a deliverance that God has that can set people free from anything that has you short of what we should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, he mentioned about churches where sisters sit on brothers' laps. Now, I'm going to lighten up just for a moment before I get, okay, a little bit stern here in a minute. So, I think they know where this is going. So, last Friday night, We don't believe that stuff in this church, and we never. But last Friday night, my wife and I, Brother Tim and Sister Catherine, went to Hardy to the couples banquet. And before we went to the service Friday night, we thought we was going to go out and get us a bite to eat. And so we go in this place to get a bite to eat, and we're, you know, kind of standing there, and I'm looking around, and finally they tell us we can go set off over here in this little side area. And so I'm walking behind my wife, and we get going out of the main area into this little side place where the booth is, and it's pretty low. And I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, boy, man, he has to just be careful, he'd hit his head right there. So I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking I'm following my wife. And so I walk up there, and here's the booth, and my mind goes off of that, not bumping my head, and I look at the seat, and there's water on the seat. And so now I just got this suit back from the cleaners, and I didn't want to sit down in water. So I'm wiping this water off, and then I sit down. And when I sat down, I looked across the table, and there was a woman across the table who said, "What are you doing?" And I sat down right beside Sister Catherine. Of course, I wasn't there for very long once I figured out what was going on. So that's kind of, you know, so that's not what's going on in this church.
Yeah.
Purely a mistake, but anyway, I was pretty embarrassed by that. But anyway, just a light side of that. But and so he mentioned a little bit about Brother Joseph Brenham, and I know this is a very serious topic, and I didn't want to let it go by tonight without just making a few comments about that. But we all love Brother Joseph, obviously we do. But as he said, when Brother Branham said things, Brother Branham was a man.
Yep.
Exactly. But yet God spoke through it very vividly. So everything Brother Branham said was not, thus saith the Lord. But you can have and you can trust and believe in God's program that what he's operating here is that he's got a predestinated people on this earth, that he is predestinated to grasp the truth that he sent in this hour, that he would speak through that prophet. And that people in their appetite would catch those things and also would go to the scriptures and see that those things that he says dovetails with scriptures. Okay? Now Brother Branham tells us that after the last church age messenger, the very next messenger to come is the Holy Spirit himself, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that there's not going to be an eighth messenger. There's not going to be another messenger. See? Now, he tells that, so okay, was he a man saying that, or does it dovetail with scriptures?
Come on now.
Right? And I can tell you, it dovetails with scriptures. There is no such thing as an eighth unless it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Come on.
Right? So, and now, but then we come along and say, but the bride is the final horse to the final age. She is because she's one with him.
Right.
Right? So potentially every one of us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And so whenever people will say, well, Joseph is a prophet, they actually go where Brother Branham said this, okay? But I will tell you, he also said this, and if you want to know where this is, I'll show you. I'll have to look it up because I don't know the message, but I've looked at it many times. But Brother Branham, he said, Joseph, my son, thou art a prophet. Or at least that's my prayer anyhow.
Yeah. Come on.
Why did he say that? If it was thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? If it was thus saith the Lord, why would he come along and trail it with that?
Yep.
See? So now my point is, I believe there's prophets. There's a man in Africa that his name is Abraham Myra, and he's definitely a prophet, but he's not an eighth messenger, and he's not a word prophet like Brother Branham. He's one of the fivefold ministry, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. There are men that are gifted with, we'll call them a small prophet, right? And they may, and if anything at all, if Joseph is a prophet, that's what he is, because if you make him anything greater, he's an eighth messenger, and that doesn't touch it, doesn't have the scripture.
Right.
See? So he can't be anything other than just a small prophet, a man who has that, if that's what he is. And if that's what he is, his gift will bear that out.
Sure.
And we have no problem with that.
Sure.
Right? But if he's going along and saying things that doesn't dovetail with scriptures, we have to reject that. I've been in personal communication with Joseph myself, personally. It's been many years ago, but so we have nothing bad to say. And if, you know, I'm not another man's judge, right? Scripture says, who are you to judge another man's servant? I do not judge other men's. I do not judge God's servants. I have to look at and see what they're saying according to the word. So if God tells him to do a certain thing, that's fine.
That's right.
Right?
Come on.
But if I see things that are being taught that's contrary to Scripture, I have to say something about it.
Yes, sir.
I have to say and get involved in that when it comes to this congregation. And so, I will say this, and this may sound real heavy, and I'll finish up here. We have been given the final truth to make the bride of Jesus Christ that invincible army.
Right.
If this message is what we say it is,
come on,
then what it has brought to us, once we have that under our belt, as we would say, and are able to act that out, it puts us in a position where we become an invincible army. Now, what does that mean? That means that all the tricks that Satan used in the past on previous churches and on Eve in the garden and all the different ones through the ages, where he was able to trick them, lie to them, deceive them, whatever he did to, and make them fall, that means that it won't work this time.
Come on.
So all the spirit of Nicolaitanism and all the hierarchy of the priesthood and all the nonsense that, that Satan used to put God's people under his thumb and take them off in bad directions, all that stuff will no longer work here underneath this message once we become what that message really is, right? Does that make sense?
Come on.
Okay. What's the best way that God will test? And you know he's going to test you. What's the best way for him to test and see if she's really caught that revelation? And no other false movement, no, whether it's a false movement or even a good movement that's just not necessarily putting forth what it should be. What's the best way for him to test her? Right? What's the best way for him to check and see if you know what is the word and what's not the word? It's not going to be some guy that looks like a devil. That's let right. him preach a sermon and deceive you. No, he's right. It will be somebody right from among your ranks.
Right.
Exactly. Right? Not calling him a devil, but he will allow it from among your own ranks that's to right. test you to see if you catch that revelation. Yep. And right. so Joseph Branham is no different than any other gifted that's ministry right. man in this message.
Amen.
He's no different. He might be a pastor, a prophet, apostle, whatever it is. That's what he is. And if we make him anything greater than that, then we're starting to make him Antichrist.
Yeah.
Because we're making him say something the scripture's not showing us.
That's right.
See? So yeah, I hope you understand what I'm saying. So you know, we love the brother. We're not against sure. him, like I said. But we're not going to make him
that's
more
right.
than what he is.
Amen.
Brother Ben's right. These people that have a problem with Brother Branham being a man is because they've been guilty of making him a god.
You're exactly right.
And then they found out he wasn't a god.
So,
he was a man that God was working through. And now they have a problem with him. And all I can say is that if you want to put fault on him, if you find something that's wrong in his life and you want to put your finger on that,
come on.
Right? You go to the Bible, and if you find a character in the Bible that God used that had that same problem,
yeah.
and you're willing to allow that to be Holy Scriptures, you better not discount what God did to us.
Come on, man. Right? That's right.
Right? So we could preach a whole sermon on that, right? Brother Branham was a man, right?
Yeah,
but I'll tell
right.
you what, he spoke a message that speaks to my
did.
Heart.
Right.
And people can say, I'm following a man. And by the way, before it's over with, they will demonize this message.
Oh, yeah.
It will happen because
yeah.
they have to. First, they have to try and disprove you and say, this is not Scripture. This is not Bible. This is not what it is. And when that doesn't throw you off, because that's what they did with Jesus, they challenged him with the Word. And when they realized they couldn't throw him off track with the word, then they had to demonize him.
Yep.
And then crucify him.
Come on.
And that's the way it works. So it's glorious in our eyes, at least to me, to realize that there is God living in a people that Satan wants to go after such. And it means that Christ is living him in that way.
Amen.
So I'll end this by saying this. If you got questions about anything Brother Ben has said or anything I've said, ask them.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Right.
That is exactly what we're here for.
Amen.
I want to see you walk up there, and I want him to call you on that day and bring you in. And I want to see you turn around and look at me and say, Brother Tony, thank you.
That's right.
For telling me the truth. Brother Ben, thank you.
Amen.
For telling me the truth. That's what I want. I want to be there with you in that glorious land, walking with you,
Amen.
Enjoying that dimension and that life with you. And I'm not going to do that if I tell you something wrong.
That's right.
Willingly.
Amen.
So if you have any questions, ask it.
That's right.
Write it down. If you want to do it anonymous, whatever, write it down. But just, you know, whatever, get it to me. And I promise you, we will address those things however you wish. If you want a personal, talk about it personally, we can do that. Or if you want a series or something to teach and preach about it, we'll do that. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Let's just worship again just for a moment. I didn't mean to take a whole lot of time, but I wanted to cover those points. Amen. Is God good?